Manuscript Releases, Volume 11, Numbers 851 to 920. M.R. Number 896, Pantheism and the Alpha of Heresies. The difficulties that have arisen have been very hard to meet, and they are far from being settled yet. One and still another are presented to me as having been led to accept the pleasing fables that mean the sanctification of sin. Living Temple contains the alpha of a train of heresies. There, heresies are similar to those that I met in my first labors, in connection with the cause in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, then in Boston, Roxbury, New Bedford, and other parts of Massachusetts. Through them, the evil one worked upon the minds of men and women. There was a Mrs. Minor who had been to Jerusalem. When she returned, she advocated some of these sentimental, spiritualistic. Spiritualism, as here used, refers to a method of interpretation employed after the great disappointment of October 22, 1844, whereby plain truths of the Bible were spiritualized away. Sophistries. She invited me to visit her and relate what the Lord shown me. Brother Nichols took my sister and self to her home in Roxbury, where we found a company of about 20 assembled. Among them were brethren and sisters whom I loved and highly esteemed. They had believed the testimonies that I had borne to the people, but they had been led astray by spiritualistic ideas, which were nothing less than a lovesick sentimentalism. The power of God came upon me as I warned them of their dangers, and some said they had never expected to see so much of the blessing of God this side of the Eden above. I bore them a message similar to the message I have been bearing for the last 2 months. I was instructed that the ideas they had accepted were but the alpha of a great deception. I had to meet similar delusions in Portsmouth and in Boston. These doctrines led to free lovism, and my heart was sorely grieved as I saw the result they brought to those who accepted them. One family, who for years had lived happily together, was broken up. A man and his wife, well advanced in years, were separated. The husband left his wife and children and established other family relations. We seemed to be able to do nothing to break the spell upon these persons. The precious truths of the Bible had no influence over them. This same hypnotic influence is seen working among our people today. Ever since my return to America, a heavy burden has rested upon me. Everywhere I see the power of the enemy. Were it not for the armies of the Lord's host, led by Michael, the destruction that Satan would be pleased to witness would come to the people of God. They would be discomfited and brought to shame. But the Lord will work for his people. He will not suffer them to be defeated. We have a most solemn work to do. I have been instructed that some of our ministering brethren are working with clouded vision. They see men as trees walking. Unless Brethren Jones, Tenney, Wagoner, and others who have been flattered by the leaders of the medical work are especially worked by the Holy Spirit, they will never see things as they are. It is hard for those who have been charmed by seductive, flattering, soul-destroying theories to see where these theories will lead, or to discern wherein their spiritual eyesight has been defective. Dr. Kellogg has been beguiled by beautiful philosophical theories that are contrary to the truth. He is standing as a guide and instructor of youth, but for a long time he has been presented to me as a man walking in strange paths. He has not been working with the Lord. If his blind eyes could be anointed with the heavenly eye salve, and he would then look at himself in the moral looking glass, he would see his sad condition and understand that unless he breaks his heart before God and makes an entire reformation, he will surely receive of the judgments of God. The Lord will not forever bear with his perversity. I am instructed to say that Dr. Kellogg is not yet soundly converted, and cannot be until by genuine faith he receives Christ as his Saviour. He needs to feel the divine power that will work in him, the change of heart represented in the scriptures as the new birth. Neither his words nor his actions can be depended on. He is surrounded by circumstances that tend to stimulate his pride and increase his vanity. He does not see his peril, nor does he see the dangerous path which he has been following. If he were openly united with the world, his course would be less dangerous to the people of God. God reads the heart. He understands the motives which cannot be discerned by men. The question was asked by one of authority: how can God accept such a man, though his professions and his assertions be ever so strong? For a long time he has been deceived by the enemy. After the South Lancaster Conference, the 1899 General Conference session was held at South Lancaster, Massachusetts. He was for a time in the Valley of Decision. But since he decided what course he would pursue, he has been making many false paths for his feet. His course in urging the adoption of binding agreements, and in leaning upon the arm of the law instead of upon the arm of God, has led him farther and farther from the truth. Yet the Lord says, "Let him now accept my word. If he will wear my yoke, he shall be my chosen physician, my human helper." At the time of the General Conference in Battle Creek, the 1901 General Conference session was held at Battle Creek, Michigan. The Lord mercifully gave him another opportunity to change his course. He has waited for him to humble his heart. All obstructions were removed, even those that his own course had built up. But he was again deceived by the flatteries and sophistries of the enemy. Last spring he began a work of repentance, but he did not make thorough work. The Lord has a message for Dr. Kellogg. Holding up the Bible, one of authority said to him, "On this book shalt thou meditate day and night. Then you will have much less confidence in your own wisdom and methods, and in the agreements and arrangements that you have formulated. You have greatly dishonored God. But he gives you another invitation. If you hear and obey his word, you will have power to become one of the sons of God. Make straight paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. Unless in the cares of your accumulated responsibilities you take God as your guide, you will continue to act a part displeasing to God, and the blood of souls will be charged to your account. The word of God is to be a lamp to your feet. That precious, sacred word is not to be appealed to uphold any spiritualistic, philosophical views regarding God, for he is dishonored by such views. No greater deception could be presented to the minds of men than the representation you have made of God in the pleasing fables you have advocated. Souls will be lost through the sowing of the sentiments found in Living Temple. In presenting error, you have united with the Prince of Darkness in his work of seducing souls to eternal ruin. The influence you have obtained with worldlings is not the credit to you that you have supposed it to be. Unless you change, decidedly change, your life will be a savor of death unto death, instead of a savor of life unto life. Make the word of God the man of your counsel. It will be a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your path. Study the word, to see what God has revealed in regard to who he is. He is the Almighty, from everlasting, an unerring guide. Upon whom else would you venture to depend in times of difficulty? What folly could be greater than to set aside the wisdom of God and accept the wisdom of him who fell from his exalted position in heaven as a covering cherub, and who has become the head of an apostate race? Will you unite with the arch-deceiver? Will you receive his deceptive falsehoods? Shall it continue to be said of you, "Thou art weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, and art found wanting"? My brother, heed the invitation of Christ. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. Your safety depends on linking up with Christ and learning from him. You have much to unlearn. Your example has not been in harmony with the example of Christ. You could do nothing more objectionable than to put aside the wisdom of God and set up your own ideas as of greatest merit for healing diseased bodies and souls, belittling and disparaging the remedy prescribed by the eternal God, and superseding the divine instruction. God is in earnest with you. You have sought to set aside God's revealed will, teaching for doctrine the opinions and the speculations of finite human agencies through whom Satan works to destroy. Let the Word of God be your lesson book. Guided by it, you will be led to think wisely. You will reveal steadfastness of purpose, and you will build upon the true foundation.
If you are transformed, and your character is formed after the character of Christ, it will be pleasing to God for you to remain in a position of responsibility. If you refuse to be transformed, if you look to men of the world and cherish worldly ambition, turning from God to human beings, you will become an instrument of deception in the hands of Satan, until at last you will have no power to break away from the snare. If you continue to work as you have been working, you will become one of the chief of sinners. But the eternal God has thoughts of mercy toward you, and he will abundantly pardon you through Jesus Christ if you will repent and turn to him with full purpose of heart. Christ does not want you to lose your soul. He wants you to take hold of his saving grace, that he may do a thorough work in your heart. Now is your opportunity to decide whether you will have eternal life or eternal death. It will be a tremendous struggle for you to make a thorough work of repentance. Those who have not seen the inwardness of your character will flatter and sympathize with you, seeking to establish you in your sins. To such a man as Dr. Paulson, the reception of spiritualistic ideas means much more than it can ever mean to you. When he realizes how near he has come to making shipwreck of his faith, when he sees that he has been giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, it may cost him his life. He will ever feel the wound. It is hard for you, but tenfold harder for such men as Dr. Paulson to recover from the shock. My heart is heavily burdened over these matters. The knowledge of what these things will mean to you unless you change has induced me to urge you to become intelligent in regard to your condition and to take your position for the truth. 265, 1903, pages 1 to 7. To Dr. Kellogg and his associates, November 26, 1903. White Estate, Washington, D.C., November 12, 1981.